Okay, this. Oh, no, don't worry. Okay, so I'll talk a little bit about what the background is for these, because I tend to write about my family, nature, relationships, all those things, and I like to give acknowledgement to the people that have been important or interesting in my life. This one is about my granddaughter. It was her first birthday, and my daughter and her husband got a smash cake. Do you know what a smash cake is? Oh, this is ridiculous. So now when a child turns one, they buy a separate cake, not the big cake. It's a little tiny cake, and they lavishly ice it, and then they encourage the child to smash it as the smash cake. So my granddaughter wanted nothing to do with it. I have a video of it. She puts her finger out and then she takes it back. And this is about her not wanting the cake. Yearling child, she does not want to taste it, the sweet confection set before her on her birthday. Not yet aware of siren song of sugar, the decadence of bliss explosive on the tongue, she hesitates to touch the unfamiliar. Perhaps there is a nascent wisdom in her contemplation, although she has not feasted on a love destined to sour. Soon enough, she too will make her choices from a menu we cannot foresee. May she exercise her present caution as she lifts her fork to take first bite. All right, this one is actually my son-in-law, and he is a musician. And this is, she's 14 now. I wrote this when she's 13. It's just such a terrible age, and you don't know who you are. And so this is called Acoustic. Musician's daughter moves through her days with awkward grace that hints of the beauty that will come in time. Her days are scored with melody or dissonance as circumstance or mood ordain. Strangled sounds taught with tension confuse this girl becoming woman. As she waits for sleep to come, music drifts soft and sure from a guitar. A father's love coaxes peace from turmoil to ease a fitful night. This is one of my favorites. As a child, you have certain memories that just you remember 60 some years later. And this is about my father. I was about 5, and we were sitting on the back porch stoop. And it just, you understand. Constellation, glossed with the sheen of gibbous moon, ink sky introduces the text of astronomy. On the back steps, I sit on my father's lap, trying to see what he wants me to see. With his glasses glinting subtle, he turns his face away from moon to mine, aligns my sight with the trajectory of his raised arm, his wrist, and hand my scope. Upon the arc of night, trinity of stars become a belt. Two stars above, now shoulders. Below are starry knee and sword. Suddenly, all coalesce, become Orion. Later, I will meet the Pleiades, shy sisters hiding in a cloud of stars, and recognize two dippers filled with sky. Tonight, in the proximity of my father's embrace, I discover the infinite. All right, this one is about my grandmother and certain little proverbs that are passed down. And this was from her Irish grandmother, I think, and she was my grandmother. Aprons. On dreary days of sleet or rain, my grandmother would scan gray skies to find a patch of opening blue just large enough to make an apron. Proof that the day would give us grace, release the sun, end whatever curse was on her or her own. What Irish mother passed this proverb to her daughters as they wiped their helpless hands on unstained aprons and clung to desperate faith as famine took their children? Okay. This is about my son. I love to garden, and I always have projects for both of my sons. One of them is over there. He's hiding. But this is about the time that my son got memorial bricks from a stairwell that was my was my friend's, and they were free, always good for a patio. So he put them all in his dirty old pickup truck and brought them, and as he was unpacking it, a snake slithered out. The snake. Snakes, snails, puppy dog tails, even at 30, my son, moving bricks, laughs sudden, holds up his prize. Sinuous, sinister, it lifts itself midair toward his wrist. Even as I scream, I know it's harmless, a garter snake. Still I shudder. I am aware that what we think we know can be deceptive. He humors me. Unharmed, it sails across the fence. How am I doing on time here? Always lose track of time. We still good? Okay. This is called Uncle Clarence. He was my great uncle, and if I had to guess, I would say he was somewhere on the autistic spectrum, as my nephew is. Quiet, gentle, just not able to interact with people very well. So this is Uncle Clarence. I remember him a hazy gray, long-limbed, stooped, subdued, gentle. He slipped in and out of my grandmother's house, loved, yet largely absent. Once, when I was 6 or 7, I asked my mama where he lived. In the church. It made no sense. Why? He takes care of the church. Where does he sleep? In the basement. Why? Later, it did make a certain sense. It was the church's furnace room, small and clean, quiet, peaceful, perfect for a man easily exhausted and sometimes sad. Okay, this one, I love the phrase creature comforts because honestly, as human beings, sometimes just the things of the body can help us when we don't feel well or we're sad, like cocoa or whatever. So when those little animals get in their little burrows, I do the same thing. I think we all do with creature comforts. A creature among creatures, wild and tame, I've learned to take my blessings as they come. A cup of coffee, just right cream, hot enough to warm my hands. The scent of falling leaves, a chair so old it fits my form. Thick socks I wear on winter nights. Summer heat, an icy Coke, the dog at rest across my feet. There are those things that ease the body. Sometimes fleeting, still, they comfort, release the weight of weariness that can muffle all this good. Okay. How am I doing? Do I have like 3 minutes left? Because I can stop. Okay, all done? Okay, thank you so much. Oh, did I go over?
Introduce Nancy James.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And here is Nancy James, who writes lovely poetry and has been doing it for a very long time very well.